Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the house of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim show today. We do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area, or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Decker.
We want to welcome everybody and say shalom to all of you that are here in North America and all of you that are around the world. We appreciate hearing from you. We appreciate knowing that you're out there and knowing that you're listening, liking what you're hearing, and hopefully learning from it. Well, we know that we woke up this morning and found on the news that Japan had a great earthquake, 8.9, the greatest one they have ever had. and a 33-foot tsunami came in. And as of airtime today, there's about 400 people now that they've found dead, and that's just the beginning of that count. You know, back in the 80s, the mid-80s up through the mid-90s, and I think this probably came in the mid-80s, the vision came to me, and I began to realize that the angel said to me that you've now entered in to a great time of sorrow. And he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. And, you know, when you look at all this, you think, well, how much more sorrowful can it get? Well, folks, it can and it will. This is just the beginning. And so I said when I prophesied that vision that these things were going to happen more often and become stronger and stronger. And you got to get a hold of the Lord and hang on. And that's what's going to happen in this day and this hour. And it's a sad thing when you stop and you think about how many, you know, just if there's no more than 410 people, and I'm probably sure that there will be because they're just now starting to find the dead bodies. But isn't it something that one minute they're alive and the next minute they're gone for eternity? And I always wonder, you know, were they saved? Were they some of them thinking about, well, I need to get to minister. I need to get the Lord Yeshua into my heart and these things. But it's over, and that's the thing that we never want to forget. That bless God, as Solomon said, we're but flowers in the field. One day that, you know, we're beautiful, and the next day we're withered and we're gone. And that's he, as wise as he was, that was really quite a statement, because that's really the way that it is. That God chose us to be here during this time, and he's bringing the revelation knowledge to get through these times so that, bless God, that God will save Ephraim out of this world. And that's his promise. That's what he's going to do. And you know, when you really think about all this calamity that's going on and realizing, you know, I mean, this that tsunami has already made it to the islands of Hawaii. It's already made the West Coast. They said that thing was moving at 500 mile an hour, fast as one of the big jet airplanes flies, and 33 feet wall of that, when it came inland. And I know that what I saw on TV there this morning, the cars were floating around like little box top cars that you put in a bathtub or something. And it was terrible. There's just no doubt about it. And I guess they're having aftershocks with one after another after another after another. And we'll just have to see, you know, how much this is going to change the axis and the way that the world sits and spins. The days at hand, brothers and sisters, that we want to count it joy to be serving the Lord God, because that's everything else is going, as I said, down the tubes. You look at the diseases, the disasters, the economical money system, not only here but around the world. This thing's over. There isn't any, you know, if you're waiting for it to come to an end, you're going to be sorry. You better prepare. As prophets told you over and over again, you better put up food. You better change your money into silver and gold if you can do that. And you better get ready, because you're gonna need it. And again, you know, with the way the government operates, I was telling Mark before the program, I said, you know, 10 years ago, most everybody had an absolute faith in our government, that they were out there doing best for us as the working class people. And now we found out that was a lie. And as I said, they're not going to tell us when this financial thing goes all the way to the ground. We're going to wake up and turn the news on and find out about it, just like he did the tsunami today. And that's that. In other words, there isn't going to be forewarning. This thing, when it happens, the government's going to know, and I'm sure they already know. They're doing whatever they can do now to scramble. So I told you when all this thing started taking place that they were going to try to put a Band-Aid on this thing. And they're desperately trying to still do that today. And they're trying to tell us that, you know, well, we're recovering. Well, if this is recovery, I don't know what it is to be in a great recession or depression. The fact of it is, there's too many people out of work, and of course the government, the states, they're putting more taxes here and more taxes there, and they're trying to cover their backside from all of our money that they stole and put in their own pockets, for a lot of the part of the matter is through business deals and everything else. But God help them, and I truly mean that, because they're going to have to stand before the Lord God and give account one of these days, and there's going to be a lot of bawling and squalling and gnashing of teeth, brothers and sisters, when that day comes for those people. I'll guarantee you it will become. Well, I think there's one more in the series that about the thing about the fear of sin, and I will get that on tomorrow. I think that today, though, I want to come on and I want to do this thing on generational sin. And the reason I wanted to do it is because it is so important. You know, as I taught, Monday or whenever it was, about healing, and got talking about how simple it is, and yet on the other side of the coin, it can become very complicated. And it's knowledge. Bless God, it's knowledge of God's holy word. It's the lack of it that gets us in trouble, that destroys us, thus saith the word of God. And so we want you to have knowledge. We want you to understand that God is still on the throne, and that there are things that you need to look at. Some of you have been on board for 5 years or better with me, and you heard me say in the beginning, you know, it takes a long time to get yourself all cleaned up here where God can use you and the blessings truly come to you. That you have to realize there's more to this than saying, Yeshua or Jesus, come into my heart. Unfortunately, the church didn't really know that, and so therefore you weren't taught, but you are being taught now. And I believe, without a shadow of turning, that it is absolutely going to make a difference, and it will make a difference in your life. But it takes some time, and all you have to do is do what? Study, fast, pray, and show yourself approved to the Lord God, and this thing will work. But you've got to constantly be trying to get the things out of your life that you know are sin. And then there's these things that I'm going to talk about today that can be hidden, that we don't understand, that the sin is sent down. It isn't that it can't be, but sin is sent down from your great grandfather to your grandfather, from there to your father, and then to you. And bless God, those things have to be broken out of your life, because you don't know. There again, I have no idea in this world. I believe that my great grandfather, which I knew as a young guy, I believe he was a wonderful man. But there again, you don't know what may have taken place in his life, my grandfather's life, the same thing, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and then my father's life. You don't know. So these things need to be covered, and we're going to cover them today, and when I get done today, we're going to pray, and we're going to break these things out of your lives. And that way, and some of these you may know, some of these you may not know and never heard about. But again, these are important things. These things of unknown generational sins that can cause you to be sick, they can cause you to die, bless God, because it's point in time. Well, let's get after the scripture. In Deuteronomy 5, the 9th verse says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So you see, there's this sort of a double-edged sword. He's saying, look, this thing can be sent down from 3 to 4 generations, their sin, down upon their children. And you know, you stop and think about that. And I've often said, well, that's just not fair. It's not fair to think that, bless God, that up the line from my forefathers, that I'm paying for their sin. Well, I got news for you. That's what the Word says, okay? If whether it's fair or it's unfair, that's the way it is. But, have the knowledge, bless God, of this and how to break that out of your life, it's going to change your life. Some of you that are listening today, this could be the very key of what you've been searching for or wondering about, been able to break your life free from this curse, because this is a curse that is sent down. Now, in 1 Kings 21, it says, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his face and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. So you see, if your forefathers repented for the sin, and let's believe God that they did, but it still has to be paid. And the way the Lord God works this thing is he sends it down line, generation to generation down, 3 to 4 generations. So, and that's scriptural proof that that God does this kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you something. We have to realize that in each of our lives, bless God, that we are hopefully trying to get ourselves cleaned up so God can use us, as I keep saying over and over again. The problem with people is people get to thinking they're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they can just live the life they want to live, and God's going to use them to raise the dead, and that just scripturally won't hold water. God uses clean vessels, and it's people that bless God that think enough of their walk with the Lord God that searches and searches and keeps on searching and searching past that searching if necessary. But that's what the fasting and prayer will do, is if you keep asking the Lord God, show me my heart, Lord. What's not right here? What is it that I'm needing to do that I haven't done? And that's something that you need to do. As I said, you may not need to do it every day, but I'm going to tell you what, you need to do it 2 or 3 times a week. Bless God, just ask the Lord, show me what it is. Let so I can change that, so I can please you. Because the Bible tells us that we got to be father pleasers. Amen? Amen. Now, generational sin and its effects come to us in 3 ways, okay? Again, we may inherit our sin through our genes. We can do that. Physical inheritance of blood disorders, diabetes, heart disease, back disorder, lung conditions, allergies, and it goes on, it goes on, it goes on. So it can come that way. Or it can, bless God, be passed to the place where you have paying a sin for the forefathers. In Job 17:5, it really tells it. It says, He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. Most of you, or a lot of you, and not all of you, wear glasses today because, and what that word flattery means, lied against friends for false gain, okay? And so you've had ancestors somewhere along the line who lied against friends for their own false gain, and for false gain. And I'm going to tell you something, that has happened. And you say, well, that's not fair. Well, I didn't write the book. Neither did you, all right? But, you know, I told you a long time ago that God has a set of rules. And within those rules, bless God, there's life. And what you and I have to learn to do is, bless God, to do what? To apply ourselves to the rules. Well, if you don't know the rules, you can't play the game correctly. And that's really what the church has done. The church didn't give us all the rules. And bless God, because we don't have the rules, we're out here trying to play a game that you couldn't win, okay? There's no way in the world that you can, just like this. Well, you may be saying, well, I've had to wear glasses all my life. Well, the fact of it is, it could be that, bless God, that somewhere up the line that one of your ancestors got into this. Now, again, this is a clear instance of what? Descent of a particular physical condition as a direct result of sin, of the sin of an ancestor. And so, I'm going to tell you something. Everything that there is, you know, your personality and your behavioral tendencies that you have, they're also descend. You know, how often has somebody said, well, you act just like your dad, or you talk just like your dad, or you play sports just like you know, your dad, or you do this like your, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And it, so it is a direct result. We absolutely are what? We are partakers of those forefathers of ours, no matter how, you know, no matter how you want to cut it. Bless God, what they did right and what they did wrong, and what we want to do today is to get you aware. And some of you may already know. Some of you may know some things that at least your grandfather, your father may have done on this earth that wasn't right. That, bless God, that again, that you're wearing that, as we'd say. I mean, that's in your pocket today, and what you have to do is to eliminate it. And we're going to do that, as I said, before we get off the air today. We're going to see to it that, bless God, that those of you that want free of these generational sins, that, bless God, that you have an opportunity to bless God, walk away from them. And it will make a difference. You know, I through the years, I've seen a lot of things happen in these areas. I've had people come in the healing line and just flat tell them, you know, you know why this is going on or that's going on in your life? It's because it's a generational sin that's been passed down to you. And their eyes get big and are you going to pray that I be healed? I said, no, I'm going to break that stinking generational sin out of your life, break that curse off of you, and you will begin to get better, and you will be completely healed. And folks, I've seen that happen time and time and time and time again. It is real, yet you can't see it. And like I said, you can all say what I have said for years. That just doesn't seem to be fair, does it? But with God, as I said, He wrote the rules. But again, it's a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of being around somebody that knows enough about the Word of God that can teach you so that you can be aware. You can, you know, and even if you don't know, the thing to do today is just to accept this prayer of deliverance and we'll break that curse. And if there's not a curse to be broken, fine. That's fine. But if there is, bless God, that curse is going to be gone. Some of you are going to send me some emails with some astonishing facts in it here in the coming days or weeks with what has happened through getting this broken out of your life. Big time stuff. And if you understand that, bless God, the thing of it, and you know something, many, many times people will keep passing these things down, all right? And they will. In other words, you may have that sin passed to you. If you don't get out of your life, it may end up being passed to your children down the line, and then they're gonna have to fight this thing, and it keeps sort of just doing what it sort of just keeps going around in circles, doesn't it? But God's got a plan, and His word is what? His word is the answer to everything, no matter what it is. As I've always said, the answer is in the book. If you can find it, that's where I'm always telling people, you know, you need to get a good concordance. I suppose today, with the Internet, people, you know, get on there and they got the Strong's Concordance and the Scriptures. And I wish I could tell you I knew all about that, but I don't. I still have a big old Strong's Concordance, sitting right under my desk, and I still use it. I got my Bible, and I look it up in the Bible, and... But for those of you of this generation, I'm sure you smile at that. I know Donna says, well, I can do that in about a tenth of the time you do it. And I said, that's fine. I said, I don't intend to stop and take time to learn something about the computer that I don't think I need to know anyway. So call it hard-headed. Maybe I need to deliver to that. Well, let's go to Hebrews 7, the ninth verse. And as many may say, so say Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, Levi's father was not Abraham. His father was Jacob. He was not born at this time. So you see, there again, in the future, this thing passed to the future. You got to always think that way. Let's go to Mark 4, the 8th verse. And other fell on ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth 30, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Now, you see, everything you do, you're sowing. Now, I'll be doing a thing before too long about sowing. And it's important. The words you speak, they sow, okay? Now, it just depends on whether you're sowing into good ground or you're sowing into ground that's not fertile as to how well it's going to grow, if it grows at all. And the fact that if it goes up on good ground, it said it's going to come forth and increase, and it's going to bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And the 100-fold is what I'm after, and that's what you should be after too. But again, you have to realize it's got to fall on good ground. And if you're walking in a curse, as we're talking about here today, a generational sin, that seed is not going to be planted in a good ground. There's no way. Because why? Because there's something wrong with the soil, okay, meaning you. Mark 4:20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100. Now, that was in, again, in Mark 20, but you see, when you begin to understand, reaping for sin is seldom immediate, and it is. You know, the thing with God, you know, if you have a job, and if the agreement on the job is that you work Monday through Friday, and on Friday you get a paycheck, right? So every Friday, you know, you're going to get a paycheck. Well, with God, payday will come, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come every Friday. It's seldom, as I said, especially with sin, it seldom is received or you reap it immediately. I've always said if every time we sin, lightning would strike about 6 foot from us, we'd probably quit sinning real quick. But the fact of it is that, again, that's not the way God designed it. It is also never without increase. Time, though not only a factor that remains the major reason why children reap what father, grandfather, and great-grandfather have sown, but the thing of it is you're going to reap that. Because what? It was sown. When you sow sin, you're going to bring up sin. When you sow righteousness, you're going to bring forth righteousness. And sometimes people just don't understand how far this thing can get out of hand before you really realize. And by the way, who's really going to know? Unless you just happen to know that there was something that your father or your grandfather was in business and or whatever else, that they did something that was outside the word against their fellow man, then you don't know. But you see, again, you know, as I said, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, they were great men. But the fact of it is, and of course I was, that they walked on water. You know, I mean, they did no wrong. But there again, we can't see into their hearts, or we couldn't see into their hearts. And that's where the problem comes from. You've got to realize that these things can come forth. And they do come forth. I mean, it's an absolute. We have been given by God the absolute command that the sins of our forefathers are going to come upon us, their children. And again, if we don't break that out of our life, we're going to pass it on. And then where does it stop? Well, it's hard telling in some cases how far that the generations have gone where this stuff takes place. Now, in 2 Samuel 12:14, it says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now, that's quite a deal, isn't it, when you stop and you think about that. Now, howbeit, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Well, boy, you talk about hard. That's tough. Well, let me tell you something. You have to realize that, bless God, that David sinned, his child died, didn't it? And that's just the way it was. His firstborn died because of his sin. And why didn't David die? Well, I don't know. That's just not the way God set this thing up. He set this thing up so that he could do whatever it is that he wants to do and however he's going to do it. I don't know the day that he made all these rules up, but the fact of it is it worked that then, and bless God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that is still the way that it happens to be today. I can remember when I first came across this, it's been lots and lots of years ago, and I began to realize, because it seemed like about that time, now I hadn't got into the ministry yet, but it began to seem to me like at that time that I just kind of felt like that there was something holding me back. You know, I don't know whether you've ever felt that way or not, but I'm going to tell you something I have more than once. And I know that I began to fast, I began to pray. I think I went on 21-day fast, and I got before the Lord, and I just kept pleading. I said, God, what is this? What is this thing that's holding me back? And about that time, the Lord spoke and said to me, he said, break the generational sins out of your life. Break those curses, because you're carrying them. And I thought, oh, well, where's that at? Well, yeah, I knew that David's child had died. I knew some of the, you know, but I had never stopped and really concentrated on the fact that this, you know, this is the way that it is. And so once I got through that fast, and bless God, I began to pray. I began to just absolutely, I began to call everything out that wasn't of God, that was passed down from my great-grandfather to my grandfather to my father, then down to me. And I just absolutely, I just cast it out. In the name of the Lord God, I said, it's gone. I don't want that in my life, and I sure don't want to pass it on to my children. And, you know, from that point on, I know that I have said in front of many congregations, if you don't want to live a holy and a righteous life for yourself, which is your decision, then think about, because of these generational sins, you think about your children. You think about them. That do it for their sake. If you don't want to do it for your sake, do it for their sake, so that they don't have to carry this load that you've carried and some of you are still carrying today, you know. And, I go back to the whole thing that I read out of Job. You know, how many times I've watched people that come up to be healed of that wore glasses and they wanted to be healed so they didn't have to be wearing glasses. How many times I've just flat quoted that out of Job and said, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The problem is it's an ancestral thing. That somewhere along the line that one of your ancestors has lied against friends for false gain. And I said, and you know, that's not, I don't think that's all that hard to have happen. I think a lot of people have had those things happen. I think a lot of people, bless God, don't realize. See, we look at this thing when we're Christians as though, oh, well, you know, I sin, but in the name of Jesus now, I'm forgiven my sin, and we just go right back into that sin. Let me tell you something. Sin, as I have given scripture for, I don't know how long ago it's been, but anyway, again, you can look it up in your concordance. Sin, you still have to pay for the sin. You're forgiven for it, but you're still going to have to pay for it. Now, I want to say that again. When you sin, yes, you are forgiven. Yeshua, sitting there at the right-hand side of the Father, our advocate to the Father, will get us cleansed of that sin through his name, okay? But the problem of it is there's still a payday. You're still going to pay for the sin. Now, there's a point in time where, and this is the generation that it's going to come to, is the fact that the Lord God, when Yeshua said, now they were healed, and he said, go and sin no more, at least a worse thing come upon you. That's going to have to be taught in a real depth one of these days, and I'm the prophet that's going to teach it. But I mean, it really says it says all in itself that if he was to say that, then you know that person was given was healed, and he looked at him and said, now go and sin no more, at least a worse sin come upon you. Something worse, not in the worst sin, but something worse physically or whatever come upon you than that which you got were delivered from. Boy, when you stop and think about that, because see, again, We've gone through numbers of generations that just flat believe that, you know, that once you're saved, that you just do whatever you want to do, that it's, you know, that other than blaspheming the Holy Ghost, bless God, then everything's hunky-dory between you and the Lord God. You don't have to worry about it, and so down the road you go. Amen. Well, lots of ruckus, they say, because that's just not that is not scriptural. The fact of it is, folks, the whole idea of this is to become holy as he's holy. That's the commandment. That's the commandment of the Lord our God. He said, you become holy as I'm holy. And then he gave us an instruction manual, didn't he? He gave us his holy covenant. He said, you follow this, you follow this. And in other words, he's saying, now look, if you observe and do all that's written therein, okay, Deuteronomy 28, first verse, he said, I will bless you above and beyond anything you can imagine. So he gave us a roadmap. He gave us an instruction booklet. And all we got to do is what? Study the booklet and do what the booklet tells us to do. Then we find out that he also said that we also must observe and keep the testimony of his holy son, Yeshua, which is, you know, as Christians, we all say, well, amen, I know that. Well, I know you know that. And as you've been hearing Mark teach my material on Paul and the Law here last week or so, you begin to find out the church didn't know everything, did they? The church didn't quite have the right answer to Paul, did they? No. In fact, they missed that in a very, very sad way. The fact of it is, though, that God made provision. It's always man. Brothers and sisters, it's always man that gets in the way. It's always man that gets out here and starts making up his rules and decide, and bless God, that they're going to be different. Now, if you stop and think about all the denominations from the Catholic Church down, that bless God, that have changed the rules, that have changed the rules. If I'm right, and I am, because I can prove it by Scripture, about keeping this holy covenant, then bless God, where did they start changing the rules? You know, they changed the day of Sabbath. They decided they'd do Sunday. In the Christian world, of course, I told you what that was about. That was about Constantine's mother hating the Jews, and so she decided to change and have a Christian Sabbath and make it on Sunday so that it wouldn't be like the Jews. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it with God. God said 6 days you will do all your work, but on the seventh you will what? You will rest. You will hold, you know, that day's holy unto you. And boy, oh boy, can you imagine what it must be to have made that day unholy. When God said it's holy unto you and you keep it, and you keep it holy, and then we're out here trashing Sabbath. Well, I mean, after all, I got Jesus. I got news for you. I don't care what Jesus and the Holy Ghost and talking tongues for an hour and a half every day. That still is not going to negate the fact of what God said. Now, it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? But you see what I'm saying, though? We pick and we choose and we decide what is, what isn't. I think I'll go to, I always said church is like a big old smorgasbord. You just keep going around, find one that believes what you want to believe. Well, I think I'll go there because they do that there, and I can go along with that. Now, I can't go along with that church down the street because they don't. So you just, then I'm always saying, well, how do you know that church was right? You know, how do you know that church was right? Well, because, you know, I just believe what they believe in water baptism or this or that. My Lord and my God, I remember when I was in Jerusalem, and I remember talking to the rabbis, and I remember them asking me a question that, bless God, I'll always think about. Because the question was, is what exactly do you Christians believe? Well, that's quite a question, isn't it? I looked at them. A Sephardic Jew said to me, he said, you know, some places you believe you know you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and some others the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he said that you argue, some of you believe in this and some of you believe in that. He said, how is it that you can't get along? And well, how can you answer that except they were right. We don't get along. We have divided ourselves, and we fell. Many generations ago, the church fell, and the church still today doesn't know that it's fallen. But we have divided ourselves into so many categories. We put signs over the doors of these places that we call churches, and we try to get, you know, trying to get people to think that, well, we got the only light in the county, and everybody else is wrong, and we're right. Well, as I said, there's nowhere that I can find that indicated that the Lord Yeshua wanted us out here building all these different churches with different names on them and with these different doctrines. No, there's only one doctrine which was delivered us by the apostles. First Christ himself, but unto them and then they unto the world. There wasn't anything of division. It was all done, as we've been trying to teach you, in a very set and in a very regiment way, and of which they followed until the time of Constantine's mother. And when she came along and decided to become a Christian, that's when she decided to eliminate this thing where the Jews and the Christians were together. Now, folks, it says right in the history books that Constantine's mother hated the Jews. You can look all this up on the computer, all right? So she hated the Jews. And so she decided and had Constantine to pass a law that, bless God, that Christians could not get together and worship God with the Jews. They had to be separate. And the history book shows that thousands of both Christians and Jews were killed because they wouldn't adhere to that proclamation. And so she saw to it through murdering these people. She drove and put the division between the Jew and the Christian. And so it stands today, all right, except the fact that we're changing that, not by the fact that there's somebody. It's because there's still a God in heaven, and the God in heaven, bless God, said in the last days he'd do what? He would bring forth the entirety of the house of Ephraim, the 10 lost tribes. And of course, that's what we're doing. We're collecting, we're bringing together those 10 lost tribes, and we're teaching you. But what we want to do, by the time we get back to Jerusalem, we want these things out of your lives. We want to make sure that, bless God, that you're garnished and clean on the inside, and bless God that you're ready to serve the Lord God with everything on the inside of you. And listen, so that you can make a difference, because you can make a difference. Bless God, I don't know what people are waiting on, because we are the church. We are Ephraim. We are those that was set aside in the last days. And people. Just, I know they shake their head about it, but you hang in there. Things are gonna get better. This thing is going to sustain itself. Why? Because God's in it. But again, well, back to generational sin. Second Kings 22:20 says, "Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the kings. The king's word again. Now, what's he saying? Well, in this scenario, he said, "I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy graves in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." You see, because they were living a righteous life, a holy life. Now, I realize again, and I realize it's a great shock to the church to have somebody stand up and blatantly, just absolutely blatantly tell you that there's not going to be a rapture. There's not going to be a pre- or a mid-rapture during the tribulation period. That's a time when, bless God, we're going to go through some really tough times. There's no doubt about that. But the fact of it is, you have to realize that God is being righteous in his own self toward us, and seeing to it that we'll come through this thing. And we will come through this. I mean, it's promised in the book. As I said, if this thing doesn't work out, then God's word's a lie, and we need to find another God to serve. But his word isn't a lie. His word is truth, and let everything else be a lie, because he will see to it that, bless God, that he brings us forth in this day and in this hour. Through what? Through his power, through his glory, he will get this done. Why? Because we are his people. We are his people, and you must remember, he chose us. We didn't choose him. He set us aside. In fact, this great battle that's going on with the Arabs, which is Ishmael family. Bless God, they still have never gotten over. You want to talk about things passed down from generation to generation? They still have not gotten over the fact that Isaac, bless God, received the blessings from the Lord God. It wasn't Ishmael. Ishmael was blessed, was told that they'd be a great people, but it was also told of Ishmael was that they would be a warring people, that they would war with nations. And when it got down to where they didn't have anybody else to war with, they just war between themselves. Now, isn't that just the truth? Yes, it absolutely is the truth. And that's absolutely what's going on. Still to this day, Ishmael is railing back, coming forth, and trying to do what? And trying, through their own vengeance, is to take this world. And, of course, they believe that God gave it to them. Well, I got news for them. Isaac was the recipient of the blessings. It had nothing to do with anything else except that, nor will it ever have anything to do with anything except that. Now, Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you stop and you think about that. Now, we know that. I mean, the church understands that, bless God, what you sow, you're going to reap. If you're out here sowing righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness. Holiness, same thing. If you're going to go out here and you're going to sow sin, you're going to reap sin. Yeah, and again, you know, if you're of the world, that's what we expect out of the world. The world doesn't know any better. The problem is we have got this thing in the church, and it's there. As I said, it's there. You know, I said the other day that there's this statistic come out that said that bless God, that there are more divorces now in the church world than there is in the world. Now, isn't that something? Huh? Well, you stop and you think about that. Bless God, we keep sowing sin into sin. We keep saying, oh, Jesus, forgive me. You know, and then we go back and we sin some more. Well, I got news for you. That just isn't what's going on. So he said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth into the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you see, not only the challenge, but the word itself dictates to us that we're going to have to understand how to sow in the Spirit, aren't we? And how do you do that? Well, God's words are Spirit and life. When you begin, you know, that's the reason I said, you know, it's hard to bring yourself to a place where you're just going to speak the things of the Bible, that you're just going to do that. No matter what comes along, you're going to say, well, you know, that's just the powers of darkness coming and trying to mess me up, but I'm going to speak the truth of God's word. I'm going to take authority over that thing in the name of Yeshua, and it's going to change, and it will change. Like I said, sometimes it'll get a little worse before it gets better, but it will get better, all right? Now, see this law, and what's really something about this law, that it is designed to bring blessings, and then, bless God, the same law also can do what? It becomes a curse. And that's the thing that we want to make sure that you can understand, and you do understand, that, bless God, You can curse yourself. People curse themselves every day. Now, generational sin will curse you, but you also can curse yourself. Now, again, in turn, you got to realize that the commandment is for us to walk in holiness. That is an elective. That's the reason some people can only go so far with God, is because they're not willing to give up their flesh. They're not willing to give up those things, those sins that are in their life, to get further with God. They get saved, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they find a church, they go, they pay tithes and give offerings, they do whatever. But you see, things don't get better. And the reason things don't get better is because somewhere along the line we're missing the old proverbial ship, okay? We took a big leap off the dock and thought we was going to land on the deck of a ship, and bless God we got in the water. We're out there struggling, and some of us don't even understand the struggle that we're in. But you see, when you walk according to God's word, then God has no alternatives. Like I said, it isn't like God is sitting back saying, well, you know, there's old Joe, whatever his name is there, or old Mary, whatever her name is there, and, you know, I mean, I've let them suffer long enough. I think I'll give them a break today. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. When you fulfill the word You fulfilled what? The covenant. And once you fill that agreement with God, there is no alternatives about your payday. Your payday will come up, as we say, smelling like roses. Because the Lord God will do what? Just exactly what the Lord God said he would do. That he will bless us beyond anything that bless God, that we can imagine. Can you? And, you know, there again, I went years. And I'm not going to tell you this thing will happen overnight. Now, this thing of breaking this curse of generational sin out of your life is going to happen today. But I'm just telling you that it takes years to walk in holiness and righteousness, where you get to a point where, bless God, it seems like that every time you turn around, God's blessing you. And I look back in my life and I go, well, what is it I'm doing different now than, bless God, I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago? But you see, with God, it's a progressive thing. He's watching. What is it he looks at? He looks at your heart. He's determining what's in your heart. He's determining, bless God, whether or not that your heart is in the right place, that you're thinking the right things, you're saying the right things, you're being the right thing, okay? It works that way with God. Well, let's look in Deuteronomy 30:19. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, now that's you and I, that I have set before you life and death. Now, if you look at this like it's a two platters. On one platter that's set on the table before you is life, and then on the other one there's death, okay? And he says blessings and cursings, and there's a platter with blessings and cursings, okay? And he says, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, does that make sense about this generational sin thing? Absolutely, doesn't it? Because see, if you take death, you take outside of God's word, then you're going to be cursed. And those curses, bless God, can be sent down to what? To your children. So he said, both thou and thy seed may live. So it's important to know that God gave us a choice. And, you know, years ago, I remember doing a piece of ministry, and I said that the curses were set into the earth, and they are, by God. And we choose. We choose whether or not we want to be blessed or we want to go. Well, everybody said, well, I'm going to be blessed. I don't want the curses. Well, it's not quite that easy, because if you're going to choose to be blessed, okay, if you're going to choose a life, then what you're going to have to understand is then you're choosing not to walk in the curses. You're choosing, bless God, not to fall into the sin that's going to get passed to your children and further down the line. That's what you're choosing. And if you'll grasp onto that, I'm going to tell you something. It'll bring great gain to your life. Generational sin, it's real. Generational sin is what's held some of you back all your lives. Excuse me, others of you back even into the hour that here today. Of things that you have walked so close to God in some areas, but there's just that thing, and I know you can relate to what I'm saying, because there's just something that's keeping you from moving closer to God than you've ever been, and you realize that. And I don't think any of us that's ever really really got into this thing can ever say that we've not experienced that. There's something that, bless God, that seems to be holding us back. Well, today we're going to eliminate this part of it. It could be something else, but it very well could be this. So I'm going to read Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, I want you to understand the first part of this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, that in particular is talking about the curse of the law and the fact that Christ came, hung upon the tree, and did what the law couldn't do, which Mark's teaching my material right now, Paul on the Law. But the fact of it is, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. You can also look at that as being from the curse of all the law. He's redeemed, so you can be delivered from it, can't you? Sure you can. And the fact of it is, we want you to be delivered from it. And why? That's kind of selfish. But you see, if you get delivered from this thing, then bless God, it just could be that you can find somebody else And you can help them get delivered by simply saying, hey, did you ever think that maybe the problem that's going on in your life is something that got sent down from 3-4 generations? And you watch how dumb they'll look at you, like, hey, get out of here. What kind of stupidity is this? Well, let me tell you something. That's not stupidity. Well, as I said, I'm going to pray, and we're going to believe God today that I'm going to break those things out of your life. Now, I realize it's put into the archives, and there's people going to listen to this, who knows, 10 years from now, but it will still work. Why? Because God's words are spirit and life. Father, right now, and as I begin to pray, I want you just to agree in your heart that, bless God, that you want those things broken, those generational sins, whatever they may be. Like I said, if there isn't any, well, then you didn't have to worry about it. But if there are, then we're going to believe God to break that out of your life. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, I take authority right now over every one of these generational sins that these people are carrying, that they knew not, that was passed down from generation to generation. And they have hindered their lives. They've hindered their walks with you, their testimonies of you. And I break those generational sins. I command those curses right now in the name of Yeshua. Come out! Release them and set them free. And from this minute on, they are free from the generational sins that have been sent down from their forefathers. And what God sets free is free indeed. And Father, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you. Now, I want each one of you just today, you can do it under your breath, you can do it out loud. I'm delivered of generational sins. They're gone. And yes, they are gone. You don't have to worry about them coming back on you because they're gone. Those have been broken off of you, okay? And that's just part of the special God that he really is. Amen? Now I want to pray for those of you that are listening that need prayer. Bless God for your bodies and those of you that need to be delivered of some other things. We're going to pray about that. Now, as I always try to do, sometimes I forget, but just place your hand in that area. Bless God of your body that you know that need to be healed. That's all you got to do. Just place your hand there. And bless God, I'm going to believe God. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, your Holy Son, the stripes that he bore upon the tree is still this day, is still our healing. I command right now, in your name, Yeshua, that you come forth by the power, the Ruach HaKodesh, by the anointing of Almighty God, and you heal these people. Where their hand is at on their body, let your anointing run from the top of their head right down into their hand. Let their hands get warm. And, Lord God, let your healing virtue come forth. Come forth into these bodies that they be whole right now. And, Satan, I bind you from this, and what I bind on earth is bound in heaven itself. Be bound in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. 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 And we do want to thank you. I want to quickly say that for those of you that take the time to send an email and let us know. I know there's been many, many of you that, bless God, that have sent testimonies of how you've been healed by sitting and listening. And I'm going to tell you, as I do, there's somebody's got a stiffness in their neck, and just start moving your neck around. I can feel that, okay, because I'm an intercessor. I can feel that's loosening up right now, even as we talk, into your body, okay? So that's loosening up. Just move. That's it. Just move it around. Just move it around in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, for those of you that need to be delivered from some things, Father, right now, in the name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, I cast these demons out of these people that need to be delivered. In the name of Yeshua, I command them to come out right now in Yeshua's name and let them be set free from whatever these devils are. Right now, every one of them, let them be set free in Yeshua's precious, precious name. Hallelujah. Now, I've told you, and I'll tell you again, now, though those things that have left you or have been on the inside of you, okay, they're not in your spirit, your mind, and your body, and they've been cast out. Now, they're going to go out to a dry place. They're going to come back with seven spirits worse than the one that left. All you've got to do is simply say, no, you're not coming back in. I have been delivered in the name of Yeshua. You go away. A few applications of that, and you will be set free. And that stinking devil will go down the street somewhere else. Won't bother you again.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Prophet Tom Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois, Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So, again, you can also get more. All the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom.